everyone. Welcome to our final conference call of Tavshin Ayin. This week is Parshas Nitzav Vayelech. However, a week from today will be Yemut Hashem Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Ayin Aleph. And therefore, for today, I'd like to focus on Mitzvah Teshuva, which is in this week's Parsha. And appropriately enough, I'd like to talk about some aspects of Teshuva and hopefully some ideas that you can take for yourself. What is the most important advice that a person can get going into Rosh Hashanah? What is the most important point that a person can be advised to do differently, besides, of course, the regular Chiyuvei Hayayim? Probably the best piece of advice for Yom HaNoraim is that you shouldn't give up. A person doesn't give up on himself. A person doesn't let things become routine. Don't stop making Kabbalahs. Don't stop trying to improve. That's the nekuda of the mitzvah of tshuva. I'd like to share with you three thoughts regarding tshuva that are, of course, very appropriate to Yom HaNoraim. I'd like to start with the Rebbe Chanan. Halachic piece in Kavod Ha'aretz Siman Chaf Aleph. Rebbe Chanan is not talking about Hilchos Teshuva, he's talking about Hilchos Kibbud Av Va'Em. And he deals with the question as to whether there's a mitzvah of Kibbud Av Va'Em for someone whose parents are Rishayim. The definition of Rasha is not our discussion for today, but let's say somebody has a father who's a Rasha. Is he obligated in Kibbud Av Va'Em? The Rambam paskins that he is obligated. Now, Rabbi Chanan is disturbed because this seems to contradict the Gemara, Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Aleph, which clearly says, Ba'isei Ma'isei Yamcha, that a person is only obligated in Kibbud Av Va'Em when the father is an observant person. And therefore, this appears to be a contradiction. Rabbi Chanan answers using the aside in Hilchos Teshuva. We know that there are two types of Teshuva. There's Teshuva Meyira, Teshuva which a person does because he's afraid of punishment, and Teshuva Me'ahava, Teshuva which a person does because he achieves a level of Ahavas Hashem. There's a fundamental difference between the two, and that is the idea of Nasu like Zechuyais, that Aveirais could become Zechuyais, could become positive things. In other words, there's a retroactive change to what the person did. He did an Aveira. And for many years, that is an Aveira in the accounting books. Later, when he does Tshuva and he turns that previous act into something which caused Tshuva, that previous act is changed retroactively to a Maisa HaMitzvah. This idea that Tshuva enables a person to change things l'mafreya retroactively is the aside Rabbi Chanan uses to answer this contradiction between the Rambam and the Gemara Bava Metzia. The Gemara Bava Metzia is talking about someone whose father passed away. The discussion there has to do with ribbis his father had collected in his lifetime, and the question of whether one is obligated to return it after the father's death. And in that discussion, the Gemara says that a man is not obligated in Kibbud Av Va'Em to such a father who collected ribbis. Says Rabbi Chanan, that died, there's no chiyuv Kibbud Av Va'Em for Aviv Rasha. One who reads the Rambam carefully sees the Rambam is talking about someone whose father is still alive. He is alive, a Rasha, and asks him to help the father, etc. In that situation, the Rambam says he's chayiv in Kibbud Av Va'Em. Explains Rabbi Chanan. Because it's possible that the father will ultimately do tshuva. If he does do tshuva, then the Averis will be erased retroactively. So if he's standing in Yer Tavshin Ayin, his father's a Rasha, and he says, I don't have to help you, and he ignores the mitzvah of Kibbud Av Va'Em. If in the coming Rosh Hashanah, Tavshin Ayin Aleph, the father went to do tshuva, retroactively it would turn out that at the time the son was standing with the father, he was not a Rasha. He was a tzaddik. And therefore, he's obligated to be mishamish the father because of this suffix, d'iraisa, this possibility that ultimately the averis will be erased, and that the father, therefore, does not have a din of a Rasha. It's a very powerful thought that a person who's a Rasha today can erase things retroactively to such a degree that even today there's a chi of kavod based on the fact that there's a potential for the person to do tshuva. That's Rabbi Chanan's part regarding tshuva. I move for Rabbi Chanan to the second concept, and this comes from the Pachad Yitzchak, from Rav Yitzchak Kutner, free will. These were averus that were his ability to resist. Nevertheless, says Rav Huttner, a human being never knows which averus he did. In Adam Tzadik Bar, it's Asher Lo Yechta Averus, averus that had to happen, and averus that didn't have to happen. And therefore, a person has to do tshuva on all of them. Now, this is pashut. However, we say in Shemona Esrei, Haroitzeh b'tshuva. Baruch Atah Hashem, Haroitzeh b'tshuva. Now, we should say, Hamisratzeh b'tshuva. Blessed are you, Hashem, who accepts tshuva. We say Haroitzeh b'tshuva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires tshuva. Is that true? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that a person shouldn't sin. He's not Haroitzeh b'tshuva. Says Rav Huttner, no. Since we have a Kabbalah, we have an understanding, then in Adam Tzadik Baritz Asher Lo Yechta, since inevitably a person will sin, there will be Averis for which a person does not have free will, and which a person will be Iver. On those Averis, he has to do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right to be tshuva. He wants the person to have a feeling of closeness to the Bayrei Olam, to the degree that he can do tshuva even on those averus that he finds hard to resist. It's a tremendous musr. Because the complaint that we often have, we're going to do tshuva on the fact that, let us say, we waste time during the year. We're going to do tshuva on the fact that we don't have kavan and shmein asrei. Many of us feel that this is not something HaKadosh Baruch Hu could demand of us. Next year we'll waste time. But next year again, we won't have kavan and shmein asrei properly. It's true. Still, the mitzvah of tshuva is the same. A person has to do tshuva because of his ritzainis, his desire to do the right thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right to the tshuva. The closeness of tshuva has nothing to do with the level of guilt the person has when he did the avera. It's a beautiful thought of Rav Huttner, and it mirrors an idea found in the Ar Gedaliyahu on Rosh Hashanah. Because the Ar Gedaliyahu says that we have a concept that B'tishrei Nivra Ha'ilam or B'nissen Nivra Ha'ilam. There's a question when the world was created, if time began with Tishrei or Nissen. And Taisa says that physically the world began with Nissen. B'machshava, though, God's plan to build the world began with Tishrei. Now that's a technical explanation of the two shitas. Rav Shor, the Ar Gedaliyahu, says that it's more than an observation of something that took place in the past. The idea that Tishrei is the time of creation b'machshava, in thought, and Nisan is a time of creation b'maisa, has tremendous ramifications. Because when we do tshuva in Tishrei, our obligation is to do tshuva b'machshava. Now, of course, a tshuva should affect our maisa, absolutely. However, in machshava, Hashem created the world with midas hadin. Later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzaref midas harachamim. When we do tshuva b'maisim, there's an understanding that we're far from perfect. There's a midas harachamim. But when we do tshuva in thought, our thoughts have to be to desire perfection. We have to want perfection. We have to have charata on any avera we did. So Rav Shua tells us that our obligation on this day is to do a tshuva. On any avera and every avera, we should desire, we should have a true ratzon pnimi, to be as perfect as a human being can be. Aye, there are some averas that we know will be repeated, and there's no question that's the one thing that prevents people from doing tshuva. The answer is, it doesn't matter. Even if a person will sin again, the kayach ha-mashava, the desire to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that itself has a value, and that's a kayach of tshuva on these particular days. We read in the parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Re'ei nasati lufnecha lufanecha hayayim esachayim v'esatay v'esamoves v'esarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, see, I have placed before you today life and good, death and evil. The Torah commands us to choose life. Life here, obviously, does not mean a beating heart or lungs that inhale and exhale. It doesn't mean a functioning mind. Uvacharta b'chayim, choose the way of Torah. That is chayim. Rav Shor, in the Ar Gedaliyahu, in this week's parasha, says a yesod, which I had mentioned in previous years, is coming from different sources. His yesod is that the Bachayim refers to somebody who lives a life of Torah. And that's so too in Shemini Esrei. When we pray, when we daven, when we beseech Hashem for Chayim, we should not be limiting ourselves to asking for a beating heart, functioning mind, and a physical life. Uvacharta b'chayim is a desire to have a spiritual life. To ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Hatzlacha in Ruchnias and spirituality. Uvacharta b'chayim means a spiritual life. And therefore, when we say Zachreinu l'chayim, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us with Chayim. We should be davening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us in the coming year to have a life that's more spiritual, more meaningful. So these are my three yesaidis for today, for tshuva, Rabbi Chanan's yesaid, the understanding of how tshuva is like a lemafreya. The words of the Pachet Yitzchak and Rav Shor, that a person's tshuva has nothing to do with his ma'isa. I shouldn't say that. It has a lot to do with his ma'isa. But the tshuva is way more than that. The tshuva is even on things that a person can change or won't change. A person has to be willing to do a full tshuva. And the third point, the point of uvacharta b'chayim, that the chayim we all need is very much a spiritual chayim. You'll see when you daven for chayim, when you daven in the language of the Chazei Nish, writes a prayer that a person should daven, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, sheyase mimenu kol hasibais hamaynais aysai, mimatera kadosha. The daven of Kadosh Baruch Hu should take away all the causes that prevent one from learning Torah or from davening properly. Now that's a beautiful tefillah. Shiyasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mimenu Askal HaSibay Samayin Aysay Say Mimim HaTayr HaKadosh U'Miki HaMitzvah Smir HaShamayim. We should daven for that on Rosh Hashanah as well, on Yom Kippur as well, and hope to be able to be Zaycha to a year of greater Chayim. I'm going to end with a question which has nothing to do with the Mitzvah of Tshuva. It actually is a Nach question which is related to this week's parasha. In the second pasuk of Parshas Nisavim, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to the Klal Yisrael, and he gathered together everyone, Ashechem, Shevtechem, Zekneichem, Shedrechem, Tapchem, Neshechem, Gercha, Shebeker, Mechnecha, Mechaitev, Eitzecha, Hachayev, Mechnecha. It mentions the wood choppers and the water drawers at the end. There's only one other place in Tanakh with these two names, Chaytev Etzecha and Shayim Mecha, come together. And that other place is in Sefer Yeshua. The Givinim came and pretended to have come from a distant land with a desire to become Gerim. Actually, they didn't deserve to become Gerim because they were members of the Shiva Amamin. They were members of the Canaanim who lived in Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, they fooled Yeshua, or Megayer, and when their fraud was exposed, Yeshua said that he would accept them anyway, but that they would have to have the menial tasks of Klal Yisrael. When we learn the Gemara, the word Nesinim, who are the Nesinim? They are these people. They are these Givinim. They're called Nesinim because the Pasuk says that Nosnam Yeshua placed them as Chaytev Eitzim and Sheyev Emayim. The difficulty is this. Where did they cut wood and draw water? Says that Yeshua put them to serve the Mishkan. There was no Beis HaMikdash then, but there was a Mishkan. They cut wood for the Mizbeach and drew water as it was needed for the Kohanim that served at the Mishkan and for the Mishkan itself. It's very, very difficult because I would think that this job would be a chush of a job, would be an important job. The Shulchan Aruch says that when you draw water for Mitzvah Matzah, you should not let a non-Jew draw the water. Oh, it's kosher if he does. But you should do it yourself. You should get involved personally in drawing water for the baking of matzahs. Shouldn't that be true for the Beis HaMikdash as well, for cutting the wood and drawing the water for the Mishkan? Isn't it strange that the punishment, the lowly point, was for these people to be Chaytzei Eitzim and Sheyev Emayim? It doesn't seem to be an appropriate job to give the people that were being given the lowest task from Klal Yisrael. It seems even to be a bizayin for the Mishkan. This is a question which has disturbed me for a while. The truth is that this year, at the Navi Shir, we hope to finish Sefer Yirmiyah. And then go back to Yeshua. I've learned Shmuel Malachim in Yirmiyah in the 20-some-odd years of the Navi Shir. We've never done Yeshua Shaiftim. I plan to go back to Yeshua. And therefore, I would be doubly grateful if somebody could come and offer minute early, which would really be taking from all of you. The week that I forgot and started late, I ask you for mechila. I hope the coming year should be a year of bracha and hatzlacha. And just ask a shame that we was zeichet to steal away these 15 minutes every Thursday afternoon and make them spiritual moments. We all should be zeichet that Kadosh Baruch Hu should prepare for us. Sheyachil lefaneinu sivais. Hashem should give us opportunities to take more moments of Eilam Hazeh and make them the permanent, meaningful moments of Ruchnius of Eilam Haba. A good Given Shtiar, we will speak again in Yitz Hashem during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva on Thursday, the day before Erev Yom Kippurim, a good Given Shtiar.